The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper.
Ahead on College Football Live, hear what Lane Kiffin had to say about his mentor, Nick Saban, that certainly got the coach's attention. Has the tide turned? And which college quarterback is reminding us of our Super Bowl MVP, Patrick Mahomes? Our resident QB weighs in, not to mention this marquee matchup.
Clemson, Miami, Death Valley. We get it on ABC.
Clemson's been the standard for the last several years.
Every week's big, but especially this week, we got a top 10 matchup. We're really excited for the challenge.
This is what we do.
We're hoping for a national championship spot. It's a big one.
Hello, everybody. Clemson getting set for Miami, a game that will feature two Heisman-contending quarterbacks, Sierra King and Trevor Lawrence. Our resident QB, Tom Luginbill, is here. I'm Wendy Nix, along with Rod Gilmore as well. We will start with that game. Clemson, the site of College Game Day, getting set to host Miami. It is an ACC matchup coming up over the weekend. Clemson got a lot at stake in this one. The number 7 Hurricanes coming to town. They have won 24 straight home games, that is the Tigers, dating back to 2016. 35 straight regular season games, tied for the 5th longest streak in the AP poll era. Here's Bill Connelly on three things Miami needs to do to beat Clemson this weekend.
Clemson's record is a gaudy 72-5 since the start of the 2015 college football season. And the Tigers are a 2-touchdown favorite against Miami on Saturday.
The Tigers are not going to be dethroned tonight.
Let's go!
Miami does check quite a few boxes on the beating Clemson checklist, however.
They got dudes everywhere. Got our hands full for sure.
Box 1. Clemson only forced 3 turnovers in its last 5 losses. The next pick De'Eriq King throws will be his first in a Hurricanes uniform, and Miami has a +3 turnover margin this season. Box 2. Wing that ball around.
Down the middle, caught, touchdown, and Miami is pouring it on.
Clemson allowed 8.9 yards per pass in these losses. King might not be Joe Burrow, but he averaged 8.5 yards per pass in Miami's 2 ACC wins this year. Box 3. Hit the quarterback a lot.
And he'll be sacked. They are imposing their will.
Clemson quarterbacks got sacked on over 6% of dropbacks in those 5 losses. Miami has ranked in the top 10 in sacks per game for 3 straight seasons and has 10 sacks in 3 games this year. Clemson is the favorite for a reason, but Miami has the right pieces to throw a scare into the top-ranked Tigers.
Tom, listen, wouldn't it be as easy of just checking those boxes? You know, easier said than done. But if you, for the sake of argument, narrow it down to those 3 keys, which of those stand out to you as the most important for the Hurricanes?
Well, if you're going to ask De'Eriq King to wing it, I don't know if guys are going to be running wide open as they were against Louisville in Florida State. I think that it's going to be imperative for De'Eriq King in this offense to be ahead of the chains off of first down. And if you're going to throw it, De'Eriq King is going to have to throw into an awful lot of tight windows. You're not going to have 5-10-yard head starts. Guys standing in the middle of the field wide open. He's going to have to be precise on time. And I think his players are going to have to make some contested matchups because, as I said, the windows are going to be a lot tighter here. So I like the 8.5 yards per attempt so far for Miami. If they do that against Clemson, then there's been some busts and voids in Clemson's back end.
Hey, Tom, I'm not a fan of the Miami offense matched up against the Clemson defense, but I do think the Miami defense has a shot. They have been much better than expected. In fact, their defensive line has been dominant. You know, no Greg Rousseau, but they still have put it together up front. You think about what they've done with Quincy Roche and Jalen Phillips leading that front and really putting a lot of pressure on quarterbacks. If that defensive line has a good day and gets after Trevor Lawrence, then you got something going. Now, Trevor Lawrence, he's great. There's no doubt about it. But no quarterback likes to be hit. If they could move him off his spot, and some teams have done that before. They've moved him off his spot and have been able to affect him a little bit. But you got to do something because that man has completed 314 passes in a row without a pick. So if that defensive line doesn't get pressure, there's no chance for Miami. But that's their best chance, is what their defense can do to affect Lawrence up front.
Tom, listen, far be it from the media to be accused of hyperbole. That wouldn't be right. But there has been a lot of talk about Miami being back, about the return of this storied program. I would say this, the sample size is small, but when you look at this matchup with Clemson, have they closed the gap at least? Is this a different game than, say, a year or two ago?
In terms of athleticism and the players are going to put on the field, we're going to find that out on Saturday. As it relates to confidence and a team going into this matchup feeling good about themselves, absolutely. I think the mindset for Miami is that they're riding high, they're playing good football. Now, have they beat great football teams? No, they haven't. But they have been able to handle success in the first 3 weeks. A bit of my concern is Clemson's going to get your attention, there's no doubt. But with all the momentum, all the intensity, all the enthusiasm, you kind of wish if you were Miami that you didn't have that layoff, that you could carry it right over into the next week. Instead, you have a two-week layoff. And I think that's going to show a lot about Miami's maturity and their ability to get on the field, get off to a fast start, and look like they didn't even have a bye week.
You know, Tom, I don't mind the layoffs so much. I mean, if there's one team that's going to get your attention with a two-week layoff, Clemson. It's Clemson. There's no question about that. And the extra time to prep might help them. But can we pump the brakes a little bit on Miami being back? I mean, let's let them play Clemson and be competitive before we start talking about them coming back.
Being
they
back's
play well,
like 3 or 4 years,
and they
right?
Face...
Right?
Well, let them get back. Let them play them again in the championship game. And then next year, let's talk about whether Miami is back. But until they get on the field and compete and give us a close game with them, let's pause on the Miami is back noise just a little bit.
Listen, college football is better when Miami is back, but I would agree. Yeah. You know, we'll put people in the Hall of Fame during training camp, so let's give it a minute or two. Either way, though, I will tell you this. A win on the national stage over the weekend would go a long way improving their point. So College Game Day, a reminder, will be in Death Valley. Clemson getting set to host the number 7th-ranked Hurricanes. You've got Trevor Lawrence. You've got De'Arik King, 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific. This game on ABC and the ESPN app. Let's take a look now at our Dr. Pepper Championship Drive of the Week preview. In the last three matchups between Ole Miss and Alabama, the Crimson Tide, well, I think you could say they dominated, scoring 50 points in each of those games, averaging over 240 more yards of offense than did the Rebels. This game has also been pushed back to 7:30 Eastern on Saturday, initially scheduled from 6 o'clock Eastern, and that's due to Hurricane Delta. We've already seen, of course, the LSU game move. They will play in Columbia, Missouri because of the storm. ABC meteorologist Rob Marciano joins us because it's really wreaking havoc not only in college football and the NFL as well. How's this storm tracking, Rob?
Well, unfortunately, it's tracking, Wendy. A good afternoon, right to a spot that got hit with a Category 4 storm just 6 weeks ago, and you can still see some of the damage here. It's all over the city of Lake Charles. They are still reeling, and they're going to get an onslaught from Hurricane Delta here before as we go on through time. It seems like every football season, we have to deal with a hurricane interrupting play, even with this modified season, and it's always the SEC and the ACC. With the track of this thing, it comes on shore tomorrow as likely Category 2 or 3, so that's going to create a myriad of problems here, obviously, for the lives of the people who live on the coast of Louisiana. But Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, because the wind field with this is going to be so big, all of those games are impacted. That's why they moved the LSU game. Tuscaloosa is not going to help, so they're in Oxford. They got a natural grass field. It will weaken quickly by the time it gets there tomorrow night, but the center of what's left of Delta will be right over that stadium at kickoff or maybe at halftime. So the players will at least be able to talk about that to their kids at some point. Just some rain, just some wind, but a good idea to push it back an hour or so to give the fans and the staff a little more time to get to that stadium. An extraordinary year in 2020, an extraordinary hurricane season, and that's colliding with this unusual football season as well. Wendy?
You took the words right out of my mouth, Rob. If it's not one thing, it's another. 2020 can blow on out of here with that hurricane, but until it does, we'll make the adjustments. Rob, thank you. Again, a reminder about the history between Nick Saban and Lane Kiffin. Just when you thought they wouldn't see each other again, they face each other as head coaches for the first time. In 2014, Kiffin hired by Alabama as the offensive coordinator. He was there until January of 2017 when he was fired 1 week before the college title game. Here is Kiffin on the Dan Patrick Show.
I don't play and he doesn't play, so we'd have better chances if that was the case, I think. I don't think he can cover me. He's got a bad
head. Well, I don't know. He's a former defensive back, so he might be able to cover you.
Yeah, he's in his like. I was told the other day, I'm really worried about Coach. You know, he's elderly now. You know.
So no.
Would you like to respond to that?
No, I think he's probably right. I wouldn't disagree with him. You know, I guess what I would ask is, when he's my age, what's he going to be like? I don't know. I mean, it's a little bit of a. You know, disadvantage to be, you know, my age and have had a hip replacement. But, you know, I still pride myself in my ability to cover. I just don't think I could cover him.
Rod, it may not be a bad idea for Lane Kiffin to shift the narrative to talk about the coaches playing rather than his players playing, because they got a tough task. There's no question. But listen, you know, I know he laughed, but I'm not sure I would give Nick Saban even the slightest fuel to the fire, if you will, from Kiffin.
Wendy, he called Saban elderly. You know, I'm sure he was kind of
that's
joking.
A tough one. But there was
a little dig that came along with that, with elderly. I mean, call him something else, but, you know, they don't have a joking relationship. I mean, the relationship was good for 3 years. They both got something out of it that worked. But remember, we had it on the graphic about that 2017 playoff and Kiffin leaving the week before the championship game or being fired, and Steve Sarkisian having to take over in that situation, and Clemson beat Bama for the championship. Saban hasn't forgotten that. I think there's a woodshed that he wants to take Kiffin behind on Saturday.
I'll tell you, Rod, I think there's a healthy respect between the two of them, and it was neat to see both of them chuckle and have some fun with each other. But right now, Nick Saban is really saying, your guys can't cover my guys. Sorry. I got better guys than your guys.
I don't think Saban found it too funny.
And you know what? He's right.
He's right.
I said this earlier. Wouldn't you rather be called old than elderly? I mean, old is, okay, you could take that. But elderly?
Yeah.
I take old all day. I mean, fine. That's okay.
Please, yes.
All right, well, anyway, let's settle it on the field. Again, this game already adjusted for Hurricane Delta. They'll move it back by an hour or so, trying to get that storm to move on out, as you just heard from Rob Marciano. Still to come on College Football Live, I promise we won't call anybody old or elderly, at least we'll try not to. We will tell you about the Houston Cougars, who've been affected by COVID-19 probably more than just about any other team, and they will finally get to play a game. And while Joe Burrow left college football's top perch for the NFL, meet LSU's newest Tiger King on the defensive side of the ball, Derek Stingley Jr.
College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville, and in part by Tostitos. Get to the good stuff. Welcome back to College Football Live, presented by Dr. Pepper.
Tonight on ESPN, head coach Dana Holgorsen's Houston Cougars are finally playing for the first time this season. After a September filled of postponements due to the coronavirus, the Cougars will play host to Tulane. Houston had previous games canceled against Rice, Memphis, Baylor, and North Texas. I should say postponed or canceled due to COVID-19 related issues. This will be the latest start to a season in Houston program history, which dates back to 1946. Dana Holgorsen addressed what his team has gone through.
I think it gets to a point where you're hanging on until you can play. I don't think you can continue to improve. We've tried, and our good on good periods that we've had have been very productive. But until you're in a game and the speed of the game is different, you're playing somebody else. Can you handle the speed of the game? Can you handle the physical nature with how a game is actually played? You can't tell that until you play, you know. And that's what's the problem with us having, you know, been ready to play for the last 3 weeks and haven't. You know, this Tulane game could have got moved up a week ago. I tried to get our commissioner to do that. They wouldn't budge. Tulane had a bye week. We could have moved it up and then played Memphis next week, but that didn't happen. You can't compare this to anything. Before this year, I've had two games canceled. 9-11, which that was one game that was canceled, and then we rescheduled it later in the year. And then 2 years ago at WVU, we had a hurricane game that NC State got canceled. But then you're right back on track the next week. You know, this is on a whole nother level. You know, the one thing that has given us hope is we sit here on Saturdays and we watch other teams playing. We know we're ready to go. We think we have a good football team.
Look, you know, on the one hand, Rod, everybody's had to deal with changes and to be audible and all of that. But this team especially, to try and get up and get ready to play week after week the way they have and then to have it not be possible is a difficult endeavor.
Wendy, it's awful. You can't help but feel badly for these players. I mean, they've been there since June waiting for a game and haven't had one. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, wide receiver Keith Corbin tweeted a couple things. One, he tweeted, "Can we just play one game, man?" And follow that up with, "Does anybody want to play the Houston Cougars?" It's been a few months. Yeah, it's a rough deal. And Tom, you know how it is as a player. You get tired of going up against your teammates. They've been doing it for this long of a time, and it's hard to stay engaged. It's hard to keep your edge. So I'm glad they finally get a game now. But it may be a little period of adjustment for them stepping back in after all this time. I think the Baylor situation was the worst for them when they thought they were playing and that game got canceled on a Friday afternoon. So I'm glad that they finally get a chance to get back on the field.
Well, and imagine you're doing all the right things and the reason you're playing has nothing to do with, that you're not playing has nothing to do with you. I had Memphis last week. They were riddled with COVID. They, you know, 28 days since their first game between Arkansas State and SMU, 11 days where you wouldn't even allow people into the building. So imagine if you're Dana Holgorsen and this coaching staff and you're just trying to manage all of this. Are we overtraining? Are we undertraining? Are we in good enough condition? We heard Dana Holgorsen mention some of the things that you're concerned about going in. I would add a couple others. How about sudden change? How about dealing with clock management, red zone production, 2 minute, 4 minute? All of that stuff, as he referenced, you're not doing it with any live bullets. You think you're ready. You think you've gone down the right path. But until you take the field, you don't know how your kids are going to respond. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch them on Thursday night. I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to seeing how dialed in they are. Because I thought last week, Memphis, they lost the game down to the wire. They were really good.
Well, they finally get to play a game, and since we're talking about COVID-19, we should. Well, and Rod, listen, for the third straight week, I believe the SEC commissioner, Greg Sankey, has sent out a memo to teams warning or reminding them about the coronavirus protocols and making sure they understand there will be punishments, sanctions, et cetera, if those rules aren't followed. He's citing, of course, the recent outbreaks not only in the White House but in the NFL. So, again, these teams have to continue to be careful. But for Houston, you know they're pleased just to get back on the field tonight. Still to come, we've got a high-powered comparison. Tom Luganville steps in. He'll be calling the BYU game this weekend, and he'll tell us why you better be watching Zach Wilson, quarterback prospect for the Cougars, and why Wilson reminds him of one Patrick Mahomes.
College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville.
It's time for our weekend wake up brought to you by Wendy's Breakfast. BYU quarterback Zach Wilson leads the FBS in completion percentage, a blistering 84.5 completion percentage, second with over 13 yards per attempt and tied for second in the nation with 11 touchdowns accounted for. Saturday's game between BYU and UTSA Saturday at 3:30 Eastern. And Tom, I know you have the call in that game. What makes this quarterback so special?
Well, I think in today's game of football, when you can accurately throw the football off balance or you can change your arm angle to suit the throw, I'm going to give you a couple examples here. Watch him off of the jet sweep action and look at where his body's at. His feet really aren't even on the ground. He rips this ball, throws it low into the outside, only place that it can be thrown. Then you see the arm strength, opposite hash to the sideline, and look where the ball finishes. And then he goes to the high point here to the tight end. He always gives his guy a chance of catching it. Reminds me of Patrick Mahomes in that subtle mobility, the ability to just kind of wing it or throw it over the top, just find ways to get rid of the ball, and things don't have to be perfect for him to be accurate. Not only is Zach Wilson really good, BYU is really good. Should be a good contest between them and UTSA this weekend.
I love how you just slide that in there. Reminds me of Patrick Mahomes. That is some comparison. He's in good company. LSU, Missouri, this game, of course, moved to Columbia because of Hurricane Delta. Let's talk about, Rod, this LSU defense.
Yeah, Wendy, you know, as a former cornerback, I spend a lot of time focused on that play out there on the island. And Derek Stingley Jr. is amazing. Todd McShay and I were talking about him. If he were coming out this year, he would be the number one cornerback. You see him in this press coverage. You see the great eye vision, the recovery speed, the discipline. He'd be a top five guy if he came out this year. We had to show you tape of him from last year, because if we had shown any this year, there'd be nothing. No one is bothering to challenge him because he is simply outstanding. Whether you have him in press coverage, off man, or if he plays zone, he is the complete package. And he would be the top corner coming out, but he's got to wait another year.
I agree with you, Rod. I think that physically his attributes are sensational, but what really stood out a year ago, he's a true freshman with a redshirt senior mentality. He's a dog. Yeah. Get it?
See what I did there, Wendy? The dog.
Oh, look at you.
Hi, Fergie.
I didn't know it was dog day.
I think the show is going to the dogs, gentlemen.
Oh, she's got Clemson.
I know, I asked for mine. Of course, I have such power around here. It didn't happen. Listen, we'll continue to watch Hurricane Delta as if the coronavirus wasn't enough. We'll get that LSU game already moved, and then Alabama-Ole Miss pushed back an hour and a half to try to accommodate what should be a pretty good storm. We'll take it again tomorrow, guys. Thank you. Safe travels. See you soon.